Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 455. I am Cold Coffee, and John Morgan is absent like a motherfucker. So what did I do instead? I got three of the top motherfuckers here in town to cover UFC 296. I got Oscar Willis in the house.
Young and hungry.
Young and hungry. I got Jose Youngs from that upstart website. What was that called again?
Mexican and tattooed.
That's it. And then last but not least, the man that's in town here that is actually challenging Mr. Morgan for an award this year. And also,
that's why he didn't show up this year.
That's
Oh, shit.
He shook.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, John. We have Nolan King in the house.
Fat and gay.
Are these the new nicknames?
I'm just giving them monikers.
It's important. Okay. I didn't even get that one.
I like it. Coming out, shots fired. Choosing violence. I feel like that's a post-Tony Ferguson vibe that he set in motion.
For real. I also wear sunglasses inside.
He certainly claimed all that stuff. And we'll talk a little bit about Tony. But you guys are here. We're here in town for UFC 296. John is busy. I know we knew it was eventually his schedule was going to finally catch up to him. He's leaving to Atlantic City tonight, I believe. So he had to jump off. He is going to be back in town for the event. So we will get a and a half show. But we knew at one point there was going to be a possible all coffee show, but I was not ready for that day just yet. So I got three of the best guys to come talk about the event. So here we are. So guys, just initial thoughts. It's fight week. We had media day. How are you feeling coming in the week so far?
For the lady?
He's pointing towards the young Jose Young.
I'll kick it off. I was really excited to come into this fight week. I don't know how the other two guys feel, but or even you, Kenny, how you feel that sometimes those long slogs where it's week after week after week of, you know, middle card fighters headlining
Apex
shows.
Which we just call life at this point, our life.
So, you know, when you get those, it kind of can sometimes sort of blend into each other. But when you get a card like this, where it is really stacked and, you know, the first fight of the main card is as intriguing as the main event, it's really exciting. And then to have, like, characters in that, to have people and personalities that are fun to talk to at Media Day, I was bounding in there like a little lamb in spring today. I was a little upset that, much like John Morgan, Ian Garry decided to go missing. But, you know, I'm sure we'll get into that. But, yeah, I was really, really happy about today. And it's always fun. You know, the workload gets more intense, but it's cool to be working on stuff that people are interested in rather than people know and give a fuck about.
Yeah, people yelling about it's another Apex show. But it's funny that you mentioned that because I thought about that the same thing. And Nolan, you might comment on this as well. When we first got there today, the energy of everybody sort of in the room, you could tell people knew it was like a big card, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, as somebody that hasn't worked a million, being in the bigger room, looking at the bout sheet too, I mean, go down the list. I think honestly it really hit me when we got the lineup and we saw that there was gonna be that press conference tomorrow, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but seeing all those different personalities on there, like, there's nobody that was really, I mean, obviously some of them are more exciting than others on paper, but most of them, you were kind of interested in what they were going to have to say.
That's not what you were saying about Shavkat 5 minutes ago.
there was something to break them up. You know,
that bus just came and ran straight over. That was awesome. It's true, though. He was Shavkat. I know you're listening to this because you're always a big fan.
You're big
MMA Roadshow is
Kazakhstan,
huge.
Right?
The Russian traffic for our website is just it's just.
Borat came out. You guys tripled.
I know, man. But Yeah, but no, I agree. I mean, what a crazy show and or crazy day, man.
And
a lot of good energy.
Colby Covington has been shopping in your your wardrobe
closet.
Here, yeah,
like, bro. I was saving that. I was saving that for the red carpet. I was gonna show up. In fact, I was gonna surprise you. I was gonna show up for the awards and the red carpet. Colby stole my outfit, so now I cannot go. He even took my chain, you know. I was really bummed about that. But someone else that likes his jewelry and likes his flair, Jose Young, what are your thoughts on the day?
The day? Like media day in general?
Media day in general.
I mean, it definitely was deflating, Ian not showing up. I feel like all of, I don't know about you guys.
Was he the one that you were looking forward to the most?
I feel like that's the one.
Was that because of click? Well, that's what I was going to say. Was it because of, my website's going to get a hell of a lot of clicks? Or were you honestly interested to see what he had to say today?
Both. A little bit of both, because I feel like things that I'm, since we cover this sport every single day, things that we're not, like Oscar was saying, no one really cares sometimes at media days, but when all of the media members are interested in one person, I would imagine just society as a whole is interested in them. Like, we're a good barometer.
Yeah.
If we have to do this every day and we are intrigued by one man, then the rest of the world is probably intrigued by one man. So it was very deflating.
Do you think at one point, did you ever get the feeling, I don't know if you guys, because I was thinking about it a little bit, I thought there was a potential of showmanship making us wait to see how people, did you have any inkling that that was a possibility?
After, I initially thought that because Ian is oftentimes late. He always weighs in last. When he does the press conference, he always got to put a suit on, so he's always late. I also know that just being from where he's from, especially where he's training in Brazil, I bet he had to do Brazilian media and UK media and all this other stuff and partners and everything. So at first I thought he was just running late. And then when we started to ask PR, being like, do we have an update on Ian? The more we got, we're just trying to figure that out right now, the more I felt like he's not showing up. There's no way he's showing up.
You can see the uncomfortableness in like guys we've talked to day in, day out, and like starting to get their faces where they're like,
oh, you're talking about PR?
Yeah PR. Oh, we're just like,
it got to the point where I even said to one of them, I was like, this is one of those ones you're not allowed to talk about, isn't it? And they just like, you know, changed the subject right away. So I assume that.
Well, speaking of, before you, was it one of you that said that you heard something about from the media, like the partners, that you heard a reason? Like, we heard.
No one heard that.
That was just BS. Okay. Yeah, are you saying that sarcastically?
Or
is it just BS?
We misheard. Okay.
He's chat and breeze.
Yeah, I was chatting. Okay. No, listen, I saw that, I can't remember his name, so I apologize, but there was an Irish reporter said that Ian's manager and wife said that he would not be at media day without
Andy
any
Stevenson
context.
Andy
Stevenson. Yep. And then she said that he would intended to be at tomorrow's press conference. Now, I don't know if there's a, you know, Ian and his team are not the most quiet of people, so their silence is kind of strange. Right. You know, I wonder if there's maybe a sickness, an injury, something they don't want to come out right before the fight. You know, but it's if he no shows tomorrow's press conference, it'll be fucking weird.
He's not been on any of the embeds either.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Just to put a cap on that, because the thing I misheard, or people were talking about, people were saying that people told partners he was not able to show up for the interviews because he was sick.
I have no idea.
Of illness. I don't know if you guys heard that particular portion, but that's what I was hearing. So if there is an actual sickness, or if there is something, and they say the same sort of thing tomorrow, then you start wondering if there's a possibility if that fight's going to happen.
You just heard Bilal was weighing in. Didn't want to run into him at the Apex.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
So Oscar's here to watch Bilal weigh in, and that's it.
So do you feel, I guess, just I feel like we could go on about Ian and the story and all that sort of thing, but is that sort of the biggest letdown, I guess, from today, is that he just wasn't there for us to get more answers from his side, to see where his head's at in this whole situation?
I'm just, like, surprised that he would, if he's going to do the press conference tomorrow, I don't know about you guys, but I'm surprised that he wouldn't go today.
Right.
Because I think he would have more control over kind of giving his side of things. And
see, I disagree, because I wondered if that, you know, look, we're beating around the bush here, like the discussion about his wife and stuff that's been going on online, what Shrikman's been saying about his wife and everything. I think in a media day setting, I know I would be more comfortable in asking about that subject than I won't ask, like, hey, what about your wife's book, in a fucking arena full of fans. It's just like, doesn't feel appropriate. Now, I don't know if they put as much planning into this, but if I was them and I didn't want to talk about that topic, I'd probably skip media day and go to the presser.
I just wonder, like, if you're going to end up having to talk about it, I wonder if you could get, because he could have came to media day with a statement and sort of just let it out there. So when it gets to the presser tomorrow, it's already sort of been addressed. You know, most people don't have to. And I feel like tomorrow, the potential of all the chatty Cathys behind him chirping up there and saying all this other stuff, that there's more risk of that to happen. I figured he would take the platform today to say, okay, I want to say what I have to say without somebody interrupting me to say I'm this and that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody's gonna ask him about it tomorrow.
It's gonna happen.
Maybe it's not Oscar, but
I've got a bit of integrity. Yeah, Alan.
But I guarantee you somebody's gonna ask. So that's kind of my thing, is like, once that, I guess it's a little bit of a gamble, right? Because he's also playing against the people that are up there too, that could have an absolute field day. Like, does 100%. Colby Covington have a whole skit for this already?
I mean, Colby really called him a cuck in footage earlier today.
Yeah.
On the UFC website, Colby refers to him as Ian the cuck.
In a UFC interview?
Yeah, he says Ian the cuck, Gary. So it's out there.
It's out there. Well, there it is. I guess, you know, and just to put on cap, because I feel like we can keep ranting about Ian. We did have the main event guys come out today. We saw Leon. We saw Colby. Where do you guys want to start? You want to talk about how Leon looked out there? I thought he looked as comfortable as ever could be.
I thought the growth that guy's done on the microphone. It's becoming champ.
Nolan said the exact same thing.
I think we even saw it with the response from some of the social media clips online. Like him kind of chuckling about the Donald Trump stuff. I think that people seem to. Even people in the comments were saying, like, I don't even like Leon Edwards, but he, like, cooked Covington, all that stuff. So I thought it was funny. It was lighthearted. He seemed pretty honest. And I think going into a fight against a guy like Colby, that's exactly the sort of thing that maybe will win him some fans over.
Yeah, you definitely get the – you didn't get the feel like it was he was faking anything. No. He looked at as ease as I've ever seen him in a fight camp. Yeah. I mean, was there anything that really stood out? I mean, I love the part you told him. He said that Colby should go get a girlfriend or whatever. Yeah. And Colby's the one that's always out there saying he's got the best cardio from the – let me clarify, I guess, the bedroom cardio or whatever he said. I was like, bro, it's so strained. And he just keeps coming at it. But was there anything that really stood out from what Leon said from anybody that just really sort of resonated, I guess, where his head is at, how his preparation is? Is there anything that he's worried about? Is there anything that he particularly said? Or did you just come off feeling that Leon is going to give us the show that won him the belt?
I just feel like Leon doesn't think Colby's that good.
Right.
100%.
Yeah.
I really think, like, when Leon's, like, going through his record, like, so he beat RDA, he beat Robbie Lawler, these guys who are on the decline. I really just think Leon almost looks at Colby as an easy fight.
Yeah. Even when our colleague Tusenga asked Leon point blank, he's like, is there anything positive you can, or redeeming qualities of Colby? And he's, or like, what is your, like, how do you really feel about him? He's like, I just don't think he's that good.
Yeah.
Just point blank, don't think he's that good.
It's crazy. And I mean, I guess we kind of segue into, I guess, the main event sort of fight preview. But it certainly seemed that Leon was really, really dredging up or bringing up the inactivity of Colby and how he's been. I mean, when you guys think about, obviously Leon's been busy, we've been seeing him in there. But when you think about Colby, does that, I don't want to say worry you any? If you were a guy that, you know, you want to see a fight that's going to be competitive, do you assume that Colby's already got enough in the tank that it doesn't really matter? Or are you worried that we haven't really seen enough of him to give us what we want out of this main event?
I think, like, in fighters react to inactivity differently. You know, John Jones took, you know, 60 years on the shelf and still came back and is dominant.
He looks great for a guy that's like 80 years old.
I know. Dominic Cruz, well, you know what they say. Dominic Cruz, he like came back and won a world title in his first fight. And I think Colby has had some extended times on the shelf before. This is not it's a long time. But
this is the longest layoff for a number one contender in the history of the UFC.
Wow.
Crazy. Like, and that's not a
DWP.
What is the time? Does somebody know the timeline? I'm like, how long has he been off?
Almost 2 years.
March 2022, right?
Yeah, 2022.
That's bonkers.
Because there have been longer. There have been longer layoffs, like John and GSP and everything. But they were like reigning champions coming back. This is the longest a number one contender that's challenging for the belt has been out.
Yeah, he was fairly active before the Masvidal fight, right? Sort of. But he'd lost to Kamaru.
But even before that, remember, he would do like one fight a year.
Damn it. Tell you what, when you read his record out,
But he dismantled Robbie Lawler. He dismantled Tyron Woodley. Like, yeah, they're aging, but like those fights were not competitive. It was one-way traffic.
Yeah.
The only one that's made him look like Kamaru's even said, if I wasn't the champion, Colby would be champion. Like, it's true. Yeah. He's very good at MMA.
It's hard to discount his performances in those big, big fights. You know, it really, really is. But it's hard to discount what we saw Leon do to Kamaru recently as well. You know, it's kind of crazy.
I don't know why it is, but I think I'm not one to buy into MMA math. I recognize styles make fights, blah, 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 all the shit we always hear. This one, for some reason in my brain, that's what I'm just stuck on.
Yeah.
I'm just stuck on the fact that we saw Leon beat Kamaru twice and Kamaru beat Colby twice. I don't know why that is. I don't get caught up in it often, but that's pretty much what I based this pick around. I mean, if these two had fought, I would have picked Colby. It would have been easy. Now, not really sure.
It's hard to discount it. It really, really is.
I've been going back and forth, but in a weird sort of like, I'm not, maybe this guy. One minute I'll be like, Leon's definitely going to win. And then the next minute I'll think, no, Colby's definitely going to win. I think I saw Kamaru Usman do a thing with DC earlier this week, and he mentioned the wrestling of Colby. And in my opinion, reading between the lines, he almost was sort of saying like, I could have taken Leon down if I had kneecaps, but I don't. You know, yeah. That seemed to be what he said was saying. And I think he feels that Colby is just going to wrestle, and Leon won't be able to stop the second or third takedown attempt. But and if Colby wins, that's how I see
it. He also picked Leon to win, though, didn't he?
He said the time away, he thinks, will. If Colby had been fought recently, it would not be a question. He'd 100% pick Colby. He said now, because Colby's been away and we don't know how that'll affect him, and Leon's riding this momentum, he'll pick Leon. But it felt to me that him and Colby kind of have this weird
Before the head kick, though, were people talking about Leon being a good fighter?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But they definitely talk about he was the guy that nobody wanted to match up to. Like, they were sort of like, he didn't seem to have like a ton of those highlight reels.
I took that as he's dangerous but not exciting and has no personality, so it's like high risk, low reward type situation. And then he head kicked tomorrow, and it changed the trajectory of the division.
And again, we saw a clip the other day of like Herb Dean separated Kamaru and Leon in the last minute of that fight. And if he didn't, we wouldn't be talking about Leon Edwards right now, you know? So
yeah,
MMA baby.
Well, it's definitely harder. You definitely can't discount the math. And I thought of the exact same thing. When I look at it, I'm like, well, when you look at his heavy performances over Kamaru, it's like you just assume it's going to happen. Yeah. By the way, we are drinking America's Red, White, and Blue. Kobe would be happy about that. Are you not allowed? Oh, I'm sorry. The young Jose Young is having water over there. He's just BSing.
It is funny as well.
Sorry, sir, you must leave the house.
It's funny as well, by the way, when Colby comes out, he's like, this is going to be 1776 again, blah, 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 yeah. blah. And then just like three English people ask him a question in a row without even addressing it. It's like,
I would love to test Colby Covington's knowledge of American history.
He would just say, you're not American. Get back down there.
Yeah.
And I would be like, I was born where the war started, my guy.
Well, let's jump to Colby. I mean, I guess we can kind of go back and forth to him. But what did you think of? I mean, is he too caught up in Donald Trump, in the hype, in his jacket? Is he too caught up in the shenanigans of things to really be focused and prepared for this? And are you worried that his head's not somewhere else coming into this fight?
I think Leon's assessment was pretty on point today. Just, I think the gimmick side of things has become, and I don't mean more vicious or more controversial, it's become more gimmicky.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's very WWE now. Whereas before there was certain moments you'd say, is he actually like that? Does he actually think that? You know, and now I think what we've seen, it's literally like something out of Vince McMahon's like 1999 playbook of some obscure character that they're testing out, you know?
I mean, he certainly was toeing the line of that $4 billion, multiple-billion-dollar company today, so it's kind of fun that you bring up the WWE. It seemed like he was toeing the line pretty big on a lot of that stuff. But, I mean, I don't know. For me, it gets all a bit distracting. At some point, it gets numbing, and then I just find myself tuning him off. Did you guys find yourself – were you engaged the whole time, or did you find with Colby today, or did he ever get the point to you that it just sort of shuts off after a while?
I would be engaged at the beginning of his answers, and then I'd realize he's just saying the same thing he just said, so that I'd slowly tune out.
I felt like today was, as Nolan was just saying, today was almost the most shticky his shtick has been, right. If 100%. That makes sense.
Do you think it's because we haven't seen him in a while?
There's probably an element of haven't seen him in a while, but then again, not really, because I've seen interviews he's done recently with ESPN stuff, and he was fine. But today, I think maybe... You know, listen, maybe the guy gets a bit of performance anxiety, you know, and he starts stumbling over his words and stuff like that. But it's almost like, in fact, you know, he left the stage and then came back to shit on LeBron James.
He forgot,
I was meant to talk about LeBron, and he came back out and did it. And then, you know, I think he has markers to hit. And then, I don't know, to me, it felt like, as I said, the most shticky he's been yet. I don't care. It's not, like, offensive to me, but it's also just like... like as Jose was saying, you know, you sort of, he's on this line again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and regardless of what you think about your people's politics or whatnot, I mean, the fact is that Donald Trump is supposed to be into attendance again.
I thought you were about to say he's supposed to be president. It was wrong from him in the election.
No, I won't go there. But the actual potential that if Donald Trump could, if Colby wins this, if Donald Trump's going to go in there, put the belt, that's pretty iconic. I don't know, regardless of what you think.
I think that'd be huge. But what do you guys think? Imagine if he fucks up putting the belt around him and he can't work it out, and then there's 5 minutes of like this old guy.
Remember when Vince McMahon took the stunner for the first time? It was just abysmal, and it just overshadowed the entire moment.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would be unbelievable. And to be honest as well, I don't know if Colby's thinking this far ahead, but dude, what about a way to make sure the UFC never treat you fucking bad again? Like having Donald Trump put them around you, and then like you can say to Dana, like, Donald loves me too.
Would that be the biggest crossover moment in UFC history?
Yeah, by far.
I mean,
The Rock. The Rock's the only other one.
Yeah, but he dwarfs. I think this dwarfs. As much as I like The Rock and what The Rock does, that would dwarf it in terms of the eyeballs to see it.
I don't know, because Triad Combat didn't really help.
It was Triller. I was there.
Was it a Triad Combat?
No, it was Triller. Was it Holyfield?
It was Vitor.
Because
it was the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, and then during the minute silence, some woman started screaming, "Take off your mask! This is a Venezuela!" And it was in the middle of it. It was a great time. I had like a great time. Very surreal.
All right. Well, I mean, we got a lot to talk about, but let's cap it off with some picks. Oscar, who are you picking in this one?
I just think the fans are going to win, Kenny.
Oh,
you know?
My Lord.
I don't know. I think.
Sir, I'm going to take that Kool-Aid away from
you.
is this UFC brand?
I can't really decide, but I think we'll probably know by halfway through round two. Like if Leon,
before we ever get to the championship,
we'll check back in with you.
But like,
but I think like if, because Leon looked really good against Kamaru both round ones, and then the elevation and stuff like that sort of played a factor. But I think that second fight against Kamaru, it wasn't like much of it was fought in the center. Most of that was Kamaru being unable to take Leon down, Leon landing like a few knees in the fight and winning the fight that way. It was a close fight. I think you'll know by round two, like if Colby cannot get him down, I don't think Kamaru can. I think Kamaru is better than Colby on the feet. So I think Leon's gap would appear quicker, if you know what I mean.
Jose?
That was a bit of a fucking mumble jumble, but you got what I mean.
I get it.
He's going to avenge 1776 and Leon's going to win. Yeah. And that's going to be 49 states.
Yeah.
That's get one back.
And he's going to reach his pocket, pull out some tea and be like, "It's back, baby!"
Which of the 13 colonies do you want back? You get to pick.
That's a good question, Jose. Thanks for asking. I think... I mean, I don't know.
Hard hitting.
Are you talking about in America or just worldwide?
Oh, just in America.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I thought we were talking worldwide because Australia, you'd be back in the
game. Then I'll get the last pick to the I feel confident enough that I could say this. The 2023 MMA Junkie staff picks winner is going to be Nolan's.
No, MMA Awards.
Our staff picks. He's going to win our staff
picks. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about that. He's nominated for the Journalist of the Year.
Yeah,
and you know what?
A hell of a year
for him. I put money on him. By accident, really? And then put it back on Ariel Helwani. But so, I put
where
money
do you
on.
Have a line?
So betonline.ag let you put money on the MMA Journalist of the
what
Year.
What's the odds?
And I fucking misclicked and put it on Nolan.
Well, the crazy thing was, I believe Ariel was not the favorite, right?
No, they were all plus.
They were all plus, but he wasn't even like the front runner. No. Wasn't Aaron?
They must have done
it. Yeah, totally.
Refresh Aaron, people. Who's in the candidates this year?
It's Aaron Bronstetter from TSN. Or Mark Romani.
That was Jose, by the way.
Yeah. From ESPN. Wow, man. You're just tearing up the industry.
I'm trying to big up
Nolan. John Morgan.
Yeah. He's right. That guy used to be on this podcast. Yep. Now he's on some other podcast.
Taught you everything you know. Yep. Now you're coming for his fucking grave.
Yeah. Jesus. Myself. That's it, right?
We're pulling for you.
Thank you.
We're
I'm just hoping I get fourth place.
Well, some of us that didn't put money against you are pulling for you.
So I get a text from Oscar when that line comes out, and he's like, "I just bet on you." I'm like, geez, and then he's like, by accident.
Do you have any?
I tried to bet on Ariel to get the plus.
Do you have any parting words of advice for someone that's not going to win, Oscar?
Yeah, because you were in his, you were in your shoes. Before.
I was, yeah. Tell you what, hey, did you get tickets this time? Because I didn't get any. Sorry, but backstage.
He's not bitter. He's not bitter at all.
Listen, all you have to do is do what I did and just engage that open bar pretty aggressively as a nominee,
and then you won't be invited back next year.
Yeah,
I'm honored.
Or nominated ever again.
Back to your pick.
Yes. Leon Edwards. After today, I last night I had to submit my picks for the junkie thing. George Garcia is 4 behind me. Mike Bond is 5 behind me. So Bond could tie me if I got them all wrong.
This is Bond's worst week of his life.
Yeah, George. George is a little closer, obviously. Yeah.
I had a bad week last week. I tried to catch up, and I had a bad week.
I'm 5-0. It's not.
Yeah.
I don't fold under pressure, I guess, or
that's
something.
It.
But
that's it. Man. Well, I won by six last week. Last year, I won by six.
Cheap
so you got to beat by six.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you come.
Because you're the only, as I recall.
Like I have to hand off the trophy, the crown of the
Well, I still got one more for it to become a dynasty, right? Aren't you a two-time winner?
Two-time.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to follow up. I wanted to get the back-to-back. I think that's legit. But still, I am happy that
thank you.
I'm confident that I can claim that you are the new MMA Junkie staff picks.
Yep.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. This is a good moment right here.
Yeah. It's a big year for him. Big year. He's a award journalist of the year.
Life's a blessing.
Winning.
So next year they're going to send you to stuff and not Mike, huh? That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here, folks.
It's going to be fun.
You heard it here.
This is why we don't mingle with people from other outlets.
Go to Abu Dhabi?
This is why we usually keep our space.
You're going to go to the next Dustin Poirier fight? That's wild.
He's actually going to cover the Toronto card solo.
Oh.
Yeah. Mike's getting evicted, and I'm going to go live in his apartment.
I like it. Now you're just living rent-free in his head.
We get along
now.
Perfectly, man. Me and Mike get along well, and...
He'll be listening to this. You guys were bunkmates in New York.
Yeah, you guys fucking spoon and shit, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
That was weird. Why did you just pick the king bed? Why didn't you guys get like two queens or something?
Yeah, it's been fucking weird, man. Why did you pick that?
Or was it a twin? Did you guys have a queen size? It was weird.
They went for the smaller bed and they didn't get two. It was weird. Why did you do that?
So odd.
In long story short, my pick for this, this main event,
this
is UFC 296.
This is Nolan's.
It's Leon Edwards. Yeah. This turned into like a very nice moment where I was getting really propped up, and then it instantly turned into a roast.
It's funny because as soon as we were walking in the car, he's like, I'm lucky that we don't do like this MMA junkie hazing thing by making the young guy have to carry gear or whatever. I feel like this was just
who does
hazing
that?
Right there. Nobody does.
I was about to say, that's fucking...
Well, we were just saying how,
like carry your own shit, old man.
Yeah.
All right, well, we put our predictions for the main event, and let's talk about the co-main event. Does it feel like it's sort of been overshadowed? Yeah, Nobody's been talking about it? I think people forget that we have a second title fight on this.
I have a feeling there are fights on the prelims that people are more interested in.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because the co-main event absolutely rules in terms
it's gonna
of...
Be fun.
It's going to be a great fight.
Yeah.
In terms of a mixed martial arts competition, it's going to be super awesome, but like... If you're going to tell people that don't really follow MMA, you're going to watch the Flyweight Championship of the World or Cody Garbrandt fight person A, they probably at least heard of Cody Garbrandt.
Mm. Yeah.
Not so much person A, though. He really does fly under the radar.
Do you know who he's fighting?
Person B?
Cody?
Sorry, yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah, he's fighting another bantamweight.
Brian Kelleher.
He's fighting Brian Boone Kelleher.
Oh, your fucking boy.
Yeah.
Your fucking boy.
The Crystal Captain himself.
He's got his mullet now.
It's called a skullet.
When did Alexandre become Alex all of a sudden?
I just say that because I don't
Everybody
want to say
seems
Alexandre.
To be saying
said
Alex.
Said it in the email this week, too.
Alex Pantone.
Everybody's on the been saying email. Alex. And I'm like, I thought everybody was working so hard to actually get him Alexandre.
Maybe he's trying to, like, you know,
it's like Oscar tries to bring back
certain... I was
going to
say that word, but I didn't want... I thought it would be rude to say it, so I'm glad you said it.
It's Americanize he's trying to basically be like, I'm one... You know,
maybe he...
I'm
one, maybe,
I look just like you people. I'm just
yeah,
like
he,
you
maybe
people.
Maybe he used to be Alex and he wants to bring it back. Just like Oscar's trying to bring back other words, too.
All right, I guess, it sounds like there's plenty of the other card to talk about, but I mean, quick predictions. I mean, how do you see that fight going down?
Man.
I mean,
Pantoja's just going to win, but Brandon Royval's cool.
I think it's obviously going to be, if I had to bet, it's probably the favorite for fight of the night. Mm-hmm. Five rounds between those two guys, but I just think Alex is going to win.
Yeah.
I think what Brandon said is pretty accurate, that Alessandre has beaten guys better than him, but it's like what Eddie Alvarez said about Mike Perry, where... Eddie Alvarez was winning that fight. Mike Perry is just made of stone and just can't be put away. And I think that's Alessandro's. Like, he withstands damage so well.
I'm just showing Nolan my fucking ticket that I put $50 on him.
And did you bet on Ariel afterwards?
$50.
That's the maximum you could do, because I was going. Ariel's obviously going to win, so I was like, I'll just bang $50.
What's so if you win, if he wins,
how much do you get?
Plus $450.
Just a satisfaction
table or something. That's kind of
a satisfaction seeing friend.
There you go.
Yeah. He's taking me out to dinner
if
at the Golden
wins,
Steer.
I win $225. When Ariel wins, I'll win $80, but I lost 50 of that betting on Nolan. So.
That's all my fault.
How much did you have to put down to win 80?
50.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense. You put 50 down to win 80, so you get 30?
Yeah, well, I get 30 now because I lost 50 on him. You know what I mean? Because I put two bets down. Anyway, it's fine. It's fine. It's not about me. It's about the fighters this weekend.
All right, well, let's jump. We'll quickly run down because I want to ask you about...
I'm taking Pantoja,
we're
going
to get to Tony...
Way.
Oh, okay, yeah. Did we not get through?
No.
Okay, Pantoja.
We're all picking Pantoja.
Pick champ. Yeah, everybody's picking Pantoja.
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually said it, but yeah, I picked Leon as well for the main event.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Did anybody pick Colby?
No.
Nobody?
I said we might. Okay.
We all hate America.
I said Oscar, Colby might.
I know.
Oscar gave an answer that was really long, and I don't even remember what he said.
it was a non-answer. I just skipped the answer.
He said, you know who's going to win? The fans.
Yeah,
that's it. That was Mike.
Well, tell me. All right, let's jump to the welterweight match between Shavkat Rakhmonov and Stephen Thompson, Wonderboy Thompson. I mean, is this competitive? Is this competitive, or is this just, sorry, Stephen.
The way you said that made it sound like you were fucking cocking a gun while you said it. Sorry, Steven.
Well, he's going to have a big old fucking weapon across the cage. Ayo.
I think honestly, it might be closer than people anticipate. Yeah. I do think Stephen Thompson is still legit as fuck.
Still legit.
His war
sure.
with Kevin Holland was unbelievable. Now, listen, Kevin Holland took him down, and if Kevin can, Shavkat can. But I think if Shavkat decides to fight this fight kind of like he did against Jeff Neal, where he just got a little sloppy and a little bit just over aggressive, much like Hamzat did against Gilbert Burns, then Stephen Thompson has ways to win. They're just so much fewer and further between Shavkat's.
Wonder Boy's response to him. Some, I can't remember who asked, but he was like reflecting on his past losses, comparing Shavkat to like Gilbert and Bilal and everything. He's like, yeah, you know, my last two losses were boring, and Shavkat might kill me. So like, I like this fight more. I'm just like, what the? You're just crazy, man.
He loves the fight, which is cool too. It's cool to see that he's up for it. You know, I think when people decide to fight Bilal, they know like what that might look like.
Yeah.
So I think that plays into his hands too. If Shavkat's going to exchange with him, he might fucking kick him in the head.
Sure.
And I know, Nolan, you're a guy that loves stats. You know stuff. How dangerous and how
they real. The new Mike Bond.
Yeah. How really? I mean, tell me a little bit about Shavkat. I know. Did you recently do a story on him?
I did not.
Okay, well, no. You should
have. What a fucking colleague.
Way to consume the product.
We have too many writers. I don't even try to read
our calling for people to lose their jobs now. Interesting.
That I didn't say.
No, he doesn't want people to lose their job. He wants Nolan to do something else besides that.
Why don't you fucking just pull your finger out and work a bit harder? You can't cover Bellator anymore.
Kenny's going to pull a Kanye tomorrow if I somehow win and, you know, get up there.
That was very funny.
I'll come out of nowhere. Yeah. This is mine. This
you
is
said
mine.
Bellator, like... Like, you had the Benel Cop pause.
Anyway.
You tell, Shavkat, what do you think of him as for, in this matchup?
I think he's obviously awesome. There's a reason that he's having trouble getting fights. These guys are just besides themselves.
We're just, this we is just WCW started, just boys trying to pop each
like,
other.
I feel like, did somebody drink some liquor when we weren't looking at or something?
Well, I've had a fucking little shot of probably 12 Irish whiskey before I came.
Did you?
Why didn't
you bring some for the group?
Is that a startup?
I was meant to bring the box.
It's
a startup.
It's just
it would have been dangerous.
I'll grab it on the way when I come back. There we go.
How's the Apple one?
That's the one I have.
Oh. You weren't down in, was it Miami?
Miami.
That we all
tried
them
in Miami. Which every time you say Miami, it sounds glamorous. And then you remember that bar we were in is the fucking dirtiest hole.
I fucking love that bar. We found the best fucking dive bar in Miami.
On like the 13th
floor. Literal crackheads.
It was a complete shit.
I broke my face that week.
The elevator was all rickety. It was like if you knew that you were doing well if the elevator made it to the top of the
fucking rickety-ness
building.
Of the elevator.
Yeah. Oh, it was
millennial with the.
It was amazing. It smelled like piss.
It smelled like literal dog piss.
Yeah. It was.
That would have been the dogs we saw in there.
Was it Mike's?
I couldn't.
I think it was called Mike's.
It's
or whatever.
Some Irish bar.
Mike's.
Oh,
it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Wait, yeah, man. Now I'm missing that.
But
place.
Anyway, yeah, Shavkat. He's a great fighter.
See, that's an award winning journalist.
He brings it right back in.
Yeah,
back right back in.
Seamless transition.
You'll glue the whole thing together.
That's true.
I think he's gonna win.
We have a prediction. Nice. Is there a potential that you see this going to a decision, or you see one of these two?
I think it'll be a finish.
I think Shavkat will get it done inside the distance.
Yeah,
I don't know how, but some way
with his hands.
That's a blind faith.
I think Shavkat will win, and if he doesn't, he doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's all right. Well, let's get to I think the fight that I know you guys are very, very excited about, and let alone just today had some interesting characters with Patty and Tony showing up. I guess where would you rather start? Would you rather talk about Tony and what Tony brought today, or do you want to talk about I guess just the fight in general? Jose, what are you thinking?
I mean, anytime Tony Ferguson does anything, that's I don't know because like he came in today and was like, I'm in a good mood, and then he just proceeded to be angry for 25
and then getting
minutes.
A bet. Who was anybody else like that? When he came up there, I was like, he's gonna turn the chair around. I'm waiting for the 100%. Chair. I was like, I thought for a second, I was like, is he not gonna do it? And then he's like, because he was like talking to everybody, he's so quiet in here.
It's like,
what's wrong
with
you guys?
When he
like,
said I'm in a good mood, I wanted to be like, well, we get nervous because sometimes you're not in a good mood. And then he spent so fucking long turning the chair around. Like,
and then sometimes he pulls a knife out immediately.
Yeah, he said, I don't have any weapons. Imagine how dangerous I'd be with weapons. I wanted to be like, you used to carry a knife and bring it out and thrust it at people.
You used to carry a baseball and all that.
Baseballs.
Yeah. And but like, how many times? I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but. This is like Besides that, F-bombs. Yeah. It's like, how many times do we hear Tony say, like, I'm back to where I needed to be?
Yeah.
It's like the six straight media. It's like the six different coaches he's had. He's like, oh, I got my same coach from when I was 12. Feels like I'm back in high school. And then then he loses. And the next day he's like, oh, it's my old boxing coach from when I was 16. He taught me how to lace my gloves. I'm back where I need to be. And it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Now he's got David Goggins.
Oh, my God.
Having Chief. Him have night terrors.
Chief. Dude, the fact that Goggins showed up today, I gave him props. I was like, I thought he was just training with him. I didn't realize he's legit going to be in this corner this week. That's pretty impressive.
Potential for one of the most motivational corner speeches we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Teddy Atlas in there.
I don't know if
could
be. I don't know if you guys caught it. Like when Tony started that, the switch went off and he started like getting more angry and started, you know, F bombs nonstop. Out of the corner of my eye, I'm looking at Goggins and the team over there, and I've just felt like this uncomfortableness coming, like, what the hell? This is what we've been trying to get him out of, that mindset, and then here he is creeping right back into it. But you just kind of wonder. I mean, like, he comes in there, he's happy at first, but then immediately the mindset switches. And I get it. He's focused. He's serious about it. But there's times when you just wonder. I think people in years past have always talked about the stability. Where his head's actually at? Is his mind healthy? Is he happy? Is he actually enjoying it? What did you feel today, like as it was going on, and what did you feel after the fact? Do you feel like he's in a good spot going into this fight?
I mean, I think he seemed like Jose said, we kind of heard this a few times before, but I think mentally he seemed a little more happy. He was super pleasant when he came in, right? Like, we didn't get kind of the grumpiness off the bat until I asked him what got him up in the morning, and then things kind of turned.
Yeah.
Well, but, it's because you chose to interrupt his thought process.
Yeah, you fucking dick.
Dude, honestly,
I got the
christening, the El Kakui christening today.
But you took it well. You did the best thing you could ever do when that happens.
Yeah.
Apologize quickly.
Get out of the way. I mean, I did. It was one of those things we both talked over each other. I thought he was asking me, like, you know how sometimes they try to flip it a little bit on you and you just kind of throw something away. But I found out quickly that was not what was going on.
What gets you up in the morning? My morning wood.
I think you're like, should I talk? Bro, you asked me a question. I wasn't done talking about my dick.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I think you said this to me after he had left, where you said like the answer he gave me was really good, even though it had nothing to do with the question
asked.
But I mean, that thing talking about his wife and getting the text message, it seemed like that was from the heart, you know?
Yeah.
And if that is true, I mean, hey, man, we're on the outside. We see,
we
kind of understand what's going on sometimes, but maybe it in a weird way, having somebody like David Goggins training him into the ground so that he's blurting out numbers in the middle of the night randomly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, it sounds like it doesn't make sense to us, but maybe it does for him, you know? Some things he's done haven't made sense over
time. Yeah, when he's like, what was the best quote you gave? And then Tony said something that none of us.
He said 92-46.
And then everyone just looked at him, and then David Goggins starts laughing uncontrollably, like, it must be nice to be in that, like,
Jose leant over and went, that must have been a really cool joke.
Yeah.
He said he's so grumpy.
Because he was like, David Goggins is sitting there just kind of staring off into space, and then he hears like those three numbers, and it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. Then I go, why did you even start training with him? What was the purpose of it? He goes, it was classified. I'm like, why?
That'd be nice.
That got to pop out of me. I laughed at that.
Yeah. Why is
it
classified?
But it was funny because it's classified because you asked him, because you also brought up about the mental part of it, you know, and then he said it's classified. But then that's why I felt like when he started talking to Nolan and he went right into it. I was like, okay, this is it's like his brain was reconnecting. He's like, I wasn't going to answer it here, but now I'm going to let it out anyways. You know, what's crazy, I mean, and what's awesome about Tony is, you know, how kind of erratic at time he seems. You know exactly what you're getting from him. You guys mentioned when you talk about the text from his wife. I thought that was, again, one of those great moments of Tony bearing all and sort of saying stuff that you don't normally would ever hear about. And it's stuff that there was really... You know, except to kind of bare himself, he could have kept that completely silent and never told us that stuff.
No, so I think that's why, like, honestly, I think he's had some rough patches with the media at times and he's come across combative. But, like, I think he's one of the most beloved figures in MMA because of that. Like, because people don't necessarily understand what's going on, but sometimes he lets them in and then it starts to make a little bit of sense. So, yeah, I thought that was a that was a pretty amazing answer from him.
I feel like I know at times that I'm sure there's media that's rubbed around. I feel like he thinks that that media in general dislikes him. I don't know if he understands how much media actually is endeared by him and loves and respect him. I think I can honestly say everybody here at the table loves and respects him.
Same as Derek Lewis. You know? Derek Lewis is always shitting on us. Yeah. Like, dude, we love you. And he's like, no.
You guys hate me. You guys whatever.
Just
like,
talk
bro,
shit
no.
about
like,
me the whole time.
Like, I get anxious when you fight, bro. Like oh, no.
I love me some Derek. Like that.
I love me some Derek, man. That's why I lost my stat pick, because I was homer for him, but whatever. Okay. But, all right, let's jump on to the opposite side. I mean, I feel like, you know, we could talk Tony because Tony deserves it. It's always good seeing Tony. You never know what you're going to kind of go in there. You know you're going to get 100% effort. You know you're going to get him giving it all. You're going to see some blood, and you're going to see some stuff. And you got a guy across from him, Patty, that I can, you know, Patty has said, you know, and we've, you know, a lot of people are wondering, is this a win-win situation? Patty's out here saying it's not. It's a lose-lose situation. So I guess, what are your thoughts on this fight for, I guess, just in speaking of that? I mean, I'm sure you're excited to see the fight. But you got Patty. What do you think about Patty coming out and saying, like, there's it's a lose-lose for me in this fight?
It's an interesting one, right? Because what I take him to mean lose-lose is almost like outside the cage stuff, right? It's not even about his ability. His popularity took such a fucking 180 after that last fight because, A, the close nature of it, B, he had the beef with Ariel that week. It just kind of all crescendoed into this crazy thing where everyone just fucking hated him. I feel like this week, whether by design or not, certainly coming across a lot more humble. He seems a lot more nice. And I think he's also benefiting off the fact that someone else on the card is under the public ire at the moment. Yeah. I think if Paddy goes out there, has a good performance, and then does a post-fight speech where it's more mental health than I won that fight, give me 50 grand, I think Paddy will actually find himself in more of the good books than he anticipates.
I do believe him when he was like, when he got hurt and he was like 5 months on the shelf, couldn't even get off his couch.
He looked so miserable, didn't
he? He was talking about how he was depressed, and then like getting married and now having twins. Like, that'll definitely change a man. Yeah. For sure.
And just listening to Oscar talk here too, like, I wonder how this layoff is like low key, like one of the better things in the term of in the court of public opinion that could happen. Like, if he had turned around and fought right after that Jared Gordon thing, people would have still been harping on it, you know, calling robbery and he's not that good, whatever. And I'm sure they still exist, but the voices are a little quieter now that it's been a year since we've seen him fight.
Who did you guys think win that fight?
I thought Jared won the fight.
Yeah, me too.
So did I.
Yeah.
Were we unanimous that we all thought that?
I think that week was just like, you know, PR blunder after like the Ariel thing. Ariel's like a powerful guy in the sport.
Yeah.
That didn't go his way. Then it was the fact that he had a really crazy close fight that everyone thought he lost. And then to use his post-fight speech to be like, 50 grand, you know, it was just like a series
of
events.
The video of Dana and Dave Portnoy, like, listening to the scorecards didn't help either. Because, like, Dana seemed like kind of smirked at Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, it was just the whole thing was just, anyway.
It's like also bad week for Patty. Also, that was the co-main event. The main event was that draw, so there was no real stories coming out of it.
Patty was the co-main last time.
Was he not?
I don't remember.
He was. The main event was Ankalaev and Jan Blachowicz.
Oh, that was a great night at the office. Yeah.
Did something get canceled, or was that always the way that it was supposed to be? I forget.
I don't know. Who cares? But yeah, like, seriously, I feel like Patty is... certainly seems calmer, more mature. And it's funny, everyone's talking about the press conference tomorrow, like Paddy's going to talk a load of shit. I don't think Paddy will talk.
I think we would have saw more of that today when he had free reign. You know, you would think that
the Ilya thing was also a story last year, remember? Because Ilya was fighting Bryce Mitchell and they had beef, and Paddy said all those things about you're not really from Georgia. And
yes, that classic.
Yeah.
That classic one-liner.
Yeah, but it's an interesting one for Paddy. I believe he'll probably win because I just don't think you lose, what is it, seven in a row by accident?
Yeah. Six.
Six in a row by accident. You know, it shows the decline. And I think Paddy, while he has like some serious defensive vulnerabilities, I don't think Tony's the guy to take advantage of them.
To put it into perspective, if you look at ESPN MMA's Instagram right now, they had that... You know that ball that's on like the rubber band that you can box?
Yeah.
They gave it to a bunch of the main card fighters and they were trying to track who got the longest. And they showed Leon doing it, Colby doing it. And then Patty did 20. And then the last person to try it was Tony. And what do you think he did?
Oh, gosh. Ate it.
No. Well, close. He took it off and used it as nunchucks.
Yeah, well, that's
true. He didn't even do the thing.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Like, I would have been weirder if Tony did it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's rough. Nolan, your pick on it.
I did pick Patty. Again, don't feel confident.
You did.
I did. I don't necessarily feel confident.
I think I did too. I don't know why I just sounded surprised there.
I'm picking Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this could be.
I can't remember what I did now.
This could be one of those Friday emails I send to Matt Erickson asking for a pick switch. We'll see.
I tried doing a pick switch last week and it didn't work because they said he was out of town, and it worked in my favor because.
Oh yeah.
My pick. If I.
Oh, switched, we have to do a recount now worse. At the end of the.
Yeah. All right. Well, we talked a bunch about Ian. I don't want to harp on him anymore. Luke A looked good today. I thought he, you know, looks like his typical self coming in the fight week. But if you had to make a pick on that one, who are you guys picking in Luke A and Gary?
I was picking Ian quite emphatically.
Yeah.
I think Ian's a very good fighter. I think he's just pretty clinical striker and crazy power. But listen, there's now an X factor surrounding him, you know?
In terms of where his head's at or if he's actually a sick.
If he's sick or he's out of here because he doesn't want to answer questions, there is questions about him. And I don't know, he's a young guy, right? It'd be the first time he's been under this level of scrutiny and this level of, even if, you know, just the pressure is getting higher and higher, and he invites it onto himself with what all the shit he says. But yeah, that's an X factor. I'm still leaning Ian, but could be interesting.
Jumping off that, how big of a hit does this card take if that fight falls off?
Oh,
I don't think that massive. Mm.
I mean, but would you be bummed? I mean, I guess we had to rate one to ten, not for nothing.
Like, even without all the drama surrounding Ian, like, he is an incredibly talented young fighter, and I think Luke is a very good, like, benchmark to test herself right now. Like, Luque has fought in almost everyone in this division. He's beaten a lot of great guys, and he's lost to a lot of great guys. I think if Ian goes out there and does what he did to Neil Magny, to Vicente Luque, we have officially have a future title contender. But if he goes out there and gets melted, then it just shows he's got a ways to go.
Did I agree. Pick? I did pick Luque, though.
Did you?
I did.
I'll pick Luque, too.
I don't know. But my thing is
it a hype Gary over hype type thing or what?
Honestly, with all the spotlight that's coming into this week and everything, I think played part of the decision. But
makes sense.
I do think too, like, in my eyes, there's a big jump going from Neil Magny to Luque. Like, at this point in time, like, we've seen Magny be in there and be competitive with a lot of the same guys. But I mean, Luque, I just feel like at this point in his career, will give Gary a little bit more of a fight than we've seen. And to be honest with you, I've been very high on Ian Gary since before he was in the UFC. The first few fights I thought were pretty disappointing. Like, there were big learning curves that shouldn't have necessarily happened at that point in time. So again, do I feel confident in this pick? No. I think there's three fights on this card that I don't feel confident in. This is one of them. But I think I'm in the minority by picking Luque here.
I like it. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna get your guys' picks, but I guess I'm gonna follow up with that. Who are your other two picks that you're unsure of?
I don't feel great about the main event. Today, thinking about it a little bit more, I do feel fairly confident in Leon.
Yeah.
But then the Patty Tony one's weird, man. Like, it's just too. You got somebody going up and somebody going down, and it's like, where are they actually?
And
you know?
Neither one has looked especially great.
Could the say Tony's the same Tony we saw last time? Is that the best person that Patty's fought? Quite possibly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, someone was saying to me they're picking Tony because they feel like a washed Tony is better than a good Paddy Pimblett.
And that's the thing.
That's just like, we don't know. I think actually, do you know what kind of wouldn't surprise me is if that fight's an unbelievable barn burner.
Yeah.
Because Paddy Pimblett is, when he's got 2 feet, it's an exciting fighter. You know, his chin is way up there and his hands are swinging. You know, I think that could be fun.
It could be a lot of fun. Just quickly run down the card before we wrap this thing up. I appreciate you guys again jumping on here. We got a featherweight fight, Josh Emmett versus Bryce Mitchell. That should be a fun one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was a full camp Mitchell too.
Colby or Mitchell?
Ooh,
Bryce Mitchell.
Two totally different.
Yeah,
two totally different dog.
Colby's
two totally different types.
Colby's
of Americans.
The blast, whatever, and like, but like Bryce is the like he's going for the religious, right?
So one was at January 6th, one was just watching at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of them were hiding in the background. Irene Adana kicking on Carol Hosa. Is it Hosa or Rosa? I just think Hosa. I say every R like an H now because I'm ruined.
That's how I pronounce it.
Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Kelleher. That should be a good one. Good one. Casey O'Neill and Ariane Lipsky rounding out the top of the starting off, I guess I should say, the ESPN2 prelims or the ESPN Plus prelims. Sorry for the cat over there yelling. He's obviously very jealous of our time together. Alonzo Minifield and Dustin Jacoby coming in at a nice light heavyweight belt as the featured prelim belt. Or the featured, I guess, Fight Pass prelim belt. Tagir Ulanbekov coming in against Cody Durden. Andre Feely, a featherweight bout against Lucas Almeida. Martin Boudet versus Shamil Gaziev. And then Randy Brown and Muslim Salikov starting
Muslim.
Off. Muslim.
Say that Salikov. Like you're from Ohio. Muslim.
Muslim Salikov.
Obies at West.
I want to ask you guys, fights under the radar. What fights do you feel are flying under the radar for this event? We already talked a bunch about the main card. I think like everybody knows the main card's dope, but let's look at the
Ariani versus Casey O'Neill might be right.
Especially because Ariani's training with Amanda now. Amanda's gym.
Thank you. Actually, no, Randy Brown's in fun fights.
I think Alonzo Menfield doesn't Kobe. Someone's going to bed.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Tagir.
Yeah, there's a few good fights, bro.
The Tagir fight, I think Tagir's going to run through Cody.
It's a tough one. Cody's tough. We never really.
Cody Garbrandt is very popular, and he's low on the prelims.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you guys think about that fight? I mean, do you think that's a must win for Cody?
I think it's good matchmaking by the.
I think it is good
matchmaker Joe, whatever his name is. Yeah. This is the fight that he made.
Oh yes, it was.
Is this really?
Yeah.
What was that one fight? I don't wait. Like, well done,
Brian. Because Brian's lost to Mario Bautista, who's obviously very good, and then he's lost to Umar, who's, and then Ricky Simon and Cody Stamann, who are all like top 15 in terms of Umar. Like, a lot of people think he's going to be champion. So, but then he's beaten a lot of guys like Kevin Kroons and Hunter Azure. And
it's funny
guys.
You bring that up. Looking at it now, Bautista, Umar, Ricky Simon, Cody Stamann, Montel Jackson, John Lineker, and Cheeto.
That's like a murderer's row.
So he has a lot of losses. We've seen him lose and get finished a lot. But they're all bent to people.
But then he's beat guys like Hannon Burrow and Ode Osborne and all those guys.
Yeah, and then all of his wins are people that are either cut or named.
So if he beats you, you're probably gonna get cut.
Well, I was actually gonna ask.
And I love Brian.
Do you feel like these guys are maybe fighting for the jump?
Could be. I mean, Cody. It depends.
Cody did get a win against Trevin Jones, but if you look before they lost, but if you look at who he lost to, Kai Kara-France lost to Rob.
I think Cody's probably okay just because of his name.
Cody's okay. I think if Brian loses, that'll be three in a row, and he's been submitted his last two. So if he gets knocked out by Cody, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
And honestly, shout out to him for even coming back. I know that.
Oh yeah, he had a bad neck injury.
Thing. They made it sound like he was never going to fight again.
But like, if it's a back and forth war, then maybe not.
Yeah,
you know, he's very good.
Who picked that one? Was that your pick?
I did.
All right, Oscar, give me a fight under the radar.
I picked the birds.
Oh, that's right, you picked the girls.
The birds.
That was a good one. That's my fight of the night for show. What?
Nuncery.
What? That's what I say when the MMA quality is going to be so high.
Pedophilia.
Pedophilia. We call it pedophilia here in the States, bruh.
Good you just Lord. Call it your friends.
I just call it my regular love story.
Okay.
No, Nolan.
Never winning that award now, Nolan.
Sorry, Nolan. I just tanked your chances. Your fight under the radar.
My fight under the radar, just because I know it's going to end in a knockout. Now it's going to go to decision.
Yeah,
I said
just
that, but Alonzo Menafield and Dustin Jacoby. That's like a somebody's going to go down,
dude. I want
that is a banger.
I think Khalil Rountree, if his management got on point and they just started labeling him like the glory killer because he beat Dustin Jacoby, he beat Golkin Saki, and he's like, give me the other glory guy, give me Alex Pereira. Then we're golden. I don't know. That was just a tangent because when I say Dustin Jacoby, I think of his fight against Khalil Rountree.
Yeah. Boy, Khalil's been looking like something lately, huh? That fight against Brian.
Tougher than a $2 steak.
Slobber knocker.
That was a slobber knocker.
Now you have to say something about it.
Yeah, say some pro wrestling quote, you fuck.
I don't watch pro wrestling.
Oh, you loser.
Are you a pro wrestling guy?
Well, when I was like 8.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I probably haven't watched it since about then.
Back when he was still trying to discover his sexuality. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That cat is freaking out.
I know. He's hungry. I'm trying, bro. We
tried
to. Now he's getting louder because now we're addressing him.
We're trying to.
Tripping Jose.
He just looked at us like we were crazy.
We got to.
He's like, I was hoping to get him meow.
Well, on that note, we should probably wrap it up. Hey, we wish John Morgan well on his way. You know, we had a good run.
Shout out, John.
We appreciate you joining
congrats
us.
Congrats on John's nomination, too. He'll be there in spirit tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll be there in spirit tomorrow. We're going to
be at the awards?
No, he's in Atlantic City, I believe.
I'm going to contact him.
Like, yeah.
Would you rather be at Atlantic City or at the World
Unwritten? He never passes up the fucking award
open
show.
Bar.
Open bar.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going on? Well, we wish the best for John tomorrow, and we wish the best for you, Nolan, tomorrow. You.
All praise be.
Hopefully, Junkie can finally get that outlet of the year again. Hopefully, Jose Young Years loses tragically. But, you know, mad respect.
Most views. Most covered. That's fine.
I know. But we're not sour grapes about it at all.
Who are the five nominees for Media Outlet?
ESPN, us, you.
Who do you work for again?
Fine. And then who else are the fucking, which other shams are nominated? Probably BT, no?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Let's see. This is good. This is good radio when we're looking up
at the radio silence.
Yeah.
Was it? I don't know.
Who gives a fuck?
Exactly. That's the right answer. Whoever they are, they're losers. We know that ESPN's already slotted the person to go up there and say it. The same guy that normally does it is so tired of doing it. He picked somebody else to do it this year.
You heard that too?
Is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
How shitty is that? Oh, well. Well, folks, thank you very much for putting up to it. I'm appreciative of the three gentlemen that joined me today.
All praise be to Allah.
John will be back for the and a half show, I assume. I haven't chatted with him, but I'm assuming he will be. My cat will not be there yelling in the background, I promise. But I think you guys will be
back. They probably can't even hear that. They just think we're insane.
Does it bother you that the other two nominees are actually Sure Dog and Bloody Elbow?
Wow.
That's very bizarre.
Yeah.
Your cat is pulling the PBR off the chair now.
Settle down, cat. He's like, I will fuck your shit up.
What's your cat's name?
Don't feed me.
Beth Ann?
Elliot.
Okay.
Beth Ann.
Well, very good. Close. Hey, guys. Thanks again for tuning in.
Bye.
We'll have more coming up soon. And how does he normally end the show?
By the way, stay frosty.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks for listening. You want to end it out? I love it. Thanks for listening.